Welcome to Tech Life Cast, an initiative of Harbor Inc. Technology Media. We are here to share insights and tell stories that happen around specific touch points across technology, lifestyle, and entertainment, and especially how these impact our lives and our future in Africa and beyond. Currently, much information about the influence of cutting-edge technologies on Africa's culture is not talked about, or even our impact on the growing space economy. We are here to transform that narrative, one story, one argument, one terrible wisecrack at a time.
My name is Ayobami, and with me here is
Victoria.
And we'll be talking about a very thought about topic, and that is, can we fully go remote? Can Nigeria fully go remote?
It's interesting that we've started having conversations around remote work and people, offices adapting to the new lifestyle that the effects of COVID-19 has brought us into. And so I guess this is something that a lot of companies are having difficulties around, and then they're asking questions. So it felt like something that we can address. Can Nigeria go fully remote?
Well, one thing I have about really extreme questions like that, like can Nigeria go fully remote, actually does mean can everybody that works in Nigeria work remotely? In real sense, that probably can't happen, because like everybody can go fully remote, and so is the other like question, that can everybody go to work, like can everybody be working physically? In a country like Nigeria, you can't say everybody will be working physically, so like those extremes can probably not work. It will probably be somewhere in the middle. So I just wanted to make that clear. And just following up with what she said, the old trend of remote working, that we all know, it aggravated during the COVID-19 pandemic.
Yeah.
And this caused a lot of companies to rethink the way
they do business.
Yeah, they do business, the way their employees. That's caused a lot of changes in operations. Even there were some debate. I think it's pretty confirmed now that you can actually be more productive while working from home if you put the proper structures in place than actually coming to office. And you know, in a country like Nigeria, where traffic takes about 4 or 5 hours of your day, about three years ago, I was like in
specifically
that,
Lagos.
Yeah, specifically Lagos. Lagos. Like 3 years ago, I was at KPMG, and I would leave home by 5. I wouldn't get to work until 8. Sometimes I even, because 8 is like the start time, I won't get to work until like 8:15, 8:30, and I still have to, I have to give explanation to why I actually got there late. After leaving by 5, like after leaving home by 5, that's like how many hours? And same thing, when I leave work by 5, I don't get home until 9, 10, that's like another 7-8 hours spent on just traffic. And you can't do productive work while in transit. Like, you can't. That's like 8-9 hours taken out of your productive time. If you could actually spend that at home, you'd get work done.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's one rationale behind.
Yeah, so I think it's more like focusing on the particular industry.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're thinking about the tech industry, it's easy for people to adapt to remote working, even in Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the companies that were able to stay afloat during the COVID-19 period were the tech companies. A lot of it, aside from the food, the guys that sell foodstuffs, and the people that were able to stay afloat quickly were the tech companies, because they were in business of building software products, and it was easier for them to work wherever they are as long as there's internet. But you'd not expect companies like real estate companies to work remotely fully. Like, it involves land, going to showcase lands, making videos for people to see on social media. I mean, this is something that you have to leave your house every single day. I think the traffic situation you mentioned is peculiar to Lagos, because in other parts of the state, in Kano, in Abuja, you don't get a lot of traffic complaints. It's Lagos specifically. And
follow up with what you said.
Yeah.
Real estate estates, you have to be at work. Entertainment, you can't be whiskey or like some.
So that's where it's interesting.
Uh-huh.
In the entertainment industry, a lot of our stars decided to do shows from the comfort of their rooms. Their
really?
Homes. Yes. Asha, I remember Asha entertaining us during the COVID-19 when it was really hectic. She mm-hmm. Session with Asha from mm-hmm. home, and then there's this other artist, Johnny Drew. He also had his own sessions from the comfort of his home studio.
Yeah, now that you talk about it, I remember Fauza did something.
Yeah, similar. And then the comedians mm-hmm. were also, the comedians you find on Instagram, a lot of them were making videos to entertain people from the comfort of their own area. So
yeah.
I think entertainment wasn't limited by the COVID-19 because it's something mm-hmm. that keeps people going and mm-hmm. just mm-hmm. resurrects that joy. But specifically about Nigeria going remote, it's going to be something that is very difficult, and here's why I think that during the COVID-19 period I got a lot of companies reaching out to me to consult, a lot of small businesses saying I'm not sure how I can survive the pandemic, I'm not sure what to do next, and I had to help set up structures around building websites for them, getting them to build products that actually sell, that people can relate with from their phones or laptops wherever they are at. And it's interesting that some companies had to shut down and while others were able to continue. Some people made more money during the COVID-19 while others lost so much money. Looking at the multinationals who have their franchise in Nigeria, a lot of them had to look for ways to, they spent more money looking for how to set up workstations for their employees from home so they don't get any interruptions. For the customer service people working in those companies, they had access to new devices for calls, internet set up for them so they are not interrupted from being online when people need services. These are things that these companies, these specific companies, could afford because they are already enterprise level companies. But the people that are just starting, early stage startups and the average MSMEs in Nigeria mm-hmm. were majorly affected because mm-hmm. a lot of them could not
afford
the cost of taking remote care working. Of all of those things for their remote workers. Mm-hmm. And most people, the pandemic did not start at the beginning of the year. It started at March, April, May period. And some people had already paid rent for spaces that they put their staff in for an entire year. Some have paid for 2 years. Imagine having to lose that money because no landlord is going to refund you money just because a pandemic happened. It's something that was unexpected. It kind of like affected businesses a lot in Nigeria. Productivity dropped until people were able to adapt. That's just the honest to God truth. Even the people that had workstations built in-house for them, they still had to adapt to the new lifestyle of waking up and then going to your office that is just like in front of your bed and to do work.
I think what you said is really, really valid because it wasn't at the time that people went remote that they started having peak productivity. And if you look at the stressors during the period because it was COVID-19, people were dying, like numbers were being released every day, those things actually factored into reducing people's productivity mm-hmm. At home than it would have been. So I actually do agree that it took a while before their productivity came back up. And right now, I think if it were in the normal situation where people just went remote out of choice or maybe out of like the business incentive, like it's proven that working from home is actually less costly than actually having a space, their productivity will not be hampered by any
because we had companies where they found out that the cost to maintain a staff within a month is let me pick a number and say it's 500,000 naira to just have me in the office to work from mm-hmm. Mondays to Fridays for 4 weeks, and then the cost to set up my internet give me a workstation that is less than half of 500,000 and it would last the company in 6 months, I'm still working fine, I'm going all right. A lot of companies had to adapt to the cost change, the fact that working remotely helped them save enough money to invest in other aspects of the business. It then did not make sense going to the office. I mean, if I can be in my house and I see that all my staff are also in their houses, and we've saved cost of facilities management, we've saved that cost of buying diesel, because let's not forget the power, the problem of power unavailability, where there's no electricity to work with. So a lot of companies spend so much money on diesel or fuel, trying to stay afloat until the end of the day for work. It made more sense for a lot of companies. So I think the number varies. It's having a matter of choice, looking at what works for you and what doesn't.
Okay.
So it's not about making a compiled decision that, oh, Nigeria cannot go fully or, oh, Nigeria can go fully remote. It's more about looking at the resources you have, seeing if you can work with what is available remotely or if it's something that it's best to be at the office. There's been situations where companies allow their staff work remotely, but the staff end up demanding for office space to work from, because first of all, you hear the married people complaining about not having concentration because of interruption from family members around the house, and they need a place where they can focus and think. And then there are other people that would say their internet is so terrible when they're at home, but at the office area it works better. So I think what helped a lot of these improvements around productivity with remote work also boils down to the co-working space.
On the co-working topic, we see a lot of companies coming up very recently, ever since like about 6-7 years ago when CCOps started the old trend of renting spaces, building spaces where people can come together to work. We are seeing Obon in Yaba, we are seeing like different places, different co-working spaces around now, and that would really help the transition to remote working for the working, because people are better able to find co-working spaces that are nearer to their house than their office location. So,
and then the interesting thing is co-working spaces actually save companies money, because if it costs me 1 million to get my facility up and running every single month, I can easily pay for 10 of my staff, say 35,000 per seat for 10 of my staff, and have them. And then the co-working space, they make sure they provide fuel, internet, they provide everything for a minimum amount. So I think for startups, early stage startups, and people who obviously haven't gotten funding for businesses to afford their own private space, they should be looking into towards get your own office, your mini office space from a co-working companies. And I noticed the trend has extended from Lagos to other places like Ibadan. Ibadan is now flooded with a lot of co-working spaces springing up from different parts. Abuja as well, Port Harcourt as well. We have co-working spaces starting in Kano, even though there are still some major amendments to be made for those co-working spaces, because obviously certain areas are not as developed as certain cities. Like Lagos has gone way ahead of most places. So I think it's something that people should look at. And if you are an office that you already have a space that you pay for, maybe you own, but it's not generating as much money as you want, find a way to merge with other companies. Turn your empty spaces or empty offices into co-working spaces that people can pay you for. They pay to work from your space. You are providing internet, but what they pay you can then cover for certain costs like diesel, cover for basic logistics that you spend at the office. So that's something we can look towards.
So taking an entrepreneurial approach to like rent out your space that is too large enough, right?
Exactly. It's just there.
There is also something I see, like this is a trend that is happening right now. People are changing roles. So while for sure, we know remote working, like working remote is very convenient. It's convenient by every metric, right? And we see people changing from like roles like maybe teacher to digital marketing, from real estate contractors to cloud engineers. Like all they just need to the cost of switching, the cost of even breaking into tech is very low. Like you just need to get some certifications, you need to like get some experience, some project. So people are trying to get into this remote working, would I say bandwagon, by actually changing their roles. Like, we are seeing a lot of people going to digital marketing, marketing and sales, content writing, graphic designer, graphic designing, web designing and stuff.
Yeah, so I think this was a trend that started after some people had to stay at home for like 4 months, no earnings, they couldn't eat, they couldn't feed their families, and it dawned on them that the skills that they had as of last year could not help them survive in a state where there's pandemic like the COVID-19. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people had to transition from teaching to how do I get a skill? I have been running skill acquisition programs, and at YDev Academy, we also have some of these programs that helps people transition to software developers, data science, DevOps, and DevOps training. So it became interesting for, like you said, teachers going to becoming digital marketers. They couldn't feed for 4 months. They had to just find, it's like a way of adapting to the pandemic. It was a necessary thing. Some people came into it as professionals looking to expand their skills, while others had to change their course of career direction because it became a necessity. So I keep telling and encouraging people that even if you are working as a chef or as a caterer or as someone that teaches, find ways to improve your technical skills, because tech is the future. We all know this. It's easy for us in the tech space to just get jobs with 10 different companies in the space of 6 months, and then we work on different projects, we earn in different currencies, and then we move on. But it's difficult for people who are just stagnant in a particular field to get that same experience. So even if you are a teacher or a student, even if you are an accountant, don't just learn how to type in the numbers. Also find ways to learn how to grow yourself as an individual so that you can adapt to any situation. Yeah, they're already making tools that could make accounting become totally artificially controlled. So what happens to your job in 10 years time? Why not go into learning things like data analysis, become a data scientist, be able to interpret numbers and how they apply to everyday life? I think that's something that people should just look into. Don't just sit with the, oh, I'm comfortable, I get paid $1,000 a month to teach children. What happens when teachers are replaced with home learning? There were actually schools that started looking for how to teach their kids from home, or use AI built tools to teach their kids from home. So just think about 10 years from now with the inventions, and I know Africa is growing and we're trying to meet up with developments that is happening around the world, but 10 years from now we definitely will not be in this situation again. What happens to your job then? I think that's a very important question that whomever is listening to this podcast should be asking themselves as an individual. 10 years from now, what would happen to the job that I'm doing currently? If I am a marketer and I do only physical marketing, would I be relevant in 5 years? Will I be relevant in 10 years? And if you're having doubts about that question, just reach out to us. We're on social media. We're always available to answer those questions. And it's interesting. It would be nice if you keep joining this podcast, because we'll be sharing tips on how to develop certain area of your life in the aspect of career, mental health, education and whatnot. And for the sake of this program where we are talking about going fully remote, like I mentioned earlier, for companies, you check your resources, you check how much you have, how much you can afford to spend, and does it save cost for you, or does it make you spend more? If it makes you spend more, then it makes no business sense. But if you're spending lesser and the productivity is not affected, then you should be looking towards making it a permanent thing. I've seen companies like Deloitte in the UK go fully remote. They are now fully, and they have over 10,000 workers, and they've gone fully remote because it works for them. So you are not Deloitte yet. You are not at that stage yet. You have to look at where you are at currently before making such life-changing decisions about your business.
I just remembered something. If you are, maybe you don't have enough funding, one other option you can explore that I see a lot of early-stage founders actually exploring is getting a space for everyone. Like all of you staying in the same maybe 3-4 bedroom such that you are able to work and keep everything together. So you don't necessarily have to all work from far different places and like have to pay some certain and large amount of bills that you can't cover yet because you don't have funding. You can just get a space to stay for a while.
And it's interesting that some of them even have like how you live there.
Mm-hmm.
Some companies have rented out spaces where there are bedrooms as well as their offices. So you sleep in the bedrooms when you're done with work, play game, there are gaming areas, you have fun with your colleague. I think it's a very good bonding experience for early stage startups. If you can afford it, fine. If you can't, then look at, like I mentioned, and I keep saying to every founder I meet on a regular basis, if you cannot afford it, don't go for it, or look for ways to get funding so you are not making the business suffer just because you want to bond as a team. But if you can afford it, yes, get a place where you guys can come together, work together for like maybe 6 months. You're in just that space, a short let. So there's also this aspect of when we ask this question, can Nigeria go fully remote? We still have to consider companies that have not yet adapted to the whole remote work process. Because there are companies that you hire for and you hear them saying things like, I would still like to see the person in-house. And because of the rising need for technical talent, you hear companies telling you, I just have to see this person, because that's their way of wanting to build trust with this. There's still the aspect of the issue of trust when it comes to remote working. Can I trust you well enough? And due to the many activities that we know as Nigerians goes on in Nigeria, you can understand why certain people would be skeptical about allowing all of their remote workers, all of the workers they hire, be remote.
I would actually like you to, like, what are these experiences so people can get what you're talking about?
Okay.
Like,
okay,
what are
so,
the experiences that from that?
Oh, okay. So there've been situations where you hire someone, a developer, to work for you remotely as a company that is just starting out and you need a website. You end up sending the developer an amount of money for maybe 50% of the project, pay them 50%, and then at the end of the day, you can't reach the developer. You can't. There's no way to trace. You can understand why that kind of company would be skeptical to hire another person that works remotely. So a lot of them, there's still this mindset thing around, I can't fully trust people to allow them just work for me from their homes. I want to see them. You get peculiar situations, not peculiar, most common situations where clients are saying, my role is remote friendly, not fully remote. Remote friendly being the person who can work on certain days from his house, but he or she also comes into the office to work maybe on Mondays and Fridays and then spend the rest of Tuesday to Thursdays working from home. These are conversations.
And I like the way you put it, that businesses in Nigeria are not, when I say, remote mature.
Yeah.
Yeah, in a way that they are able
something
to.
Something new.
Yeah.
We're just getting used
but
to.
But how could they, like, what is the process like? Is it, what are the measures they could put in place to actually prevent that? Is it that they require guarantors, or is it that?
What I mostly suggest to businesses to prevent them going through this, I paid someone to build this for me, just go to a company that can help you hire people. If you are looking for talent, just go where you know you can hold someone or some people, a group of people, accountable for any mishap that happens on your project. You know that these guys have done background check for these developers. You know you know where they are coming from. It's best you hire from a company that you can go back to and lay complaints, and they even help you replace when over time that talent is not working well, than being in a state where you are hiring anybody you see on the internet. You would not be able to control that.
So outsourcing HR operations.
Outsourcing.
And that is really, really important, because applying for roles abroad, you most likely don't apply. So there is this, like, you most likely don't apply to the company directly. Mm-hmm. There is this company, Crossover. It's like an HR company. So they provide, they connect remote workers, professionals in
across tech,
sales, marketing, mm-hmm. product management, mm-hmm. to people, like really established businesses in the US.
Yeah.
And their application process is very rigorous. The first is like a basic fit test, then cognitive assessment, and like it's very, very rigorous. So the merit of actually outsourcing the HR operations is because you have other business,
it saves you
other
time.
Business goals. Like, you are not focused on just HR.
Exactly. But
if you could reach out to someone, an organization that is just focused on HR, which will have like more in-depth processes, more would I say mistake-proof processes that they could rely on, more reliable processes, mm-hmm. that will ensure that whomever they are bringing on board is just the right person, is not a dupe. Like, that would just be, it would just be way better to outsource to these companies.
That saves you time. Saves you mm-hmm. resources of looking for who you want to hire to help you hire.
Yeah.
You just, I go to the main guy, I get this talent, and they mm-hmm. do my job.
Yeah,
and the sweet thing is, the main guy can help you supervise this talent while they are doing your job. So you don't even have to do a lot of these companies offer product management mm-hmm. services as well. When you're hiring from them, you want to hire a team, they tell you, okay, we can handle your project. All you need to do is know that it's working, test your product, see that everything is going according to plan. So the secure proof way I can advise any business looking mm-hmm. to hire remotely is hire from a source. Hire from a company that already has a pool of talent that is reliable.
Like, you can get back to, like,
exactly.
You can
and the sweet thing is,
they're responsible.
Yeah, and the sweet thing is, these processes are so automated now that it's very fast, because mm-hmm. they already have pre-vetted talents mm-hmm. in their talent pool. So when you reach out to them, they're just going back to their database to say, oh, you need a senior data guy. We already have done all of this work. And then they maybe redo a couple of questions, interviews mm-hmm. with this person, and then forward. But their information is coming from a source, and that's the only way you can trace back. Because if you give a random developer you find online,
mm-hmm.
if they disappoint you, it will be difficult for you to build trust on getting remote workers. So it's safer for businesses to go safer, more secure. When you think of the processes of negotiation and everything, just go through a source, get them from a source, and
try and establish it.
Yeah, an established organization, yes.
And that's good. And there are a few other challenges that come with remote working that people are conscious about. And one is working too much. So because there is no demarcation, there is no work time, there is no family time, you just find out that, oh, you've been working for the past 6 hours, and you're thinking, like, you'd never, like, the time just went whoosh. Like,
yeah.
So what do you think about that? What are your thoughts about actually working too much? Because I know that's what you do.
Yeah, it's more about work-life balance. It's mm-hmm. finding fun in what you're doing. So it still comes back to your individuality as a person. Do you enjoy what you do? Do you enjoy, even if you don't enjoy what you do, but you know you have to do it, you have to find a way to understand that you as a person, you can only be fine to give 100% to your job. So I keep advising remote workers, technical talents that I come across, and people that chat with me on social media, I let them know, It's okay to take a break. When your head is full, and the sweet thing is, you can take a 5-minute, 10-minute break to just make your own coffee, have coffee, relax your mind, just keep yourself in a state of calm so you can be at your full gear when you get back to work. It's more about the person than the company. No company forces you to work beyond a specific time. It's just you as an individual. Do you think you have deadlines to meet? And if yes, have you communicated if those deadlines are too rigid for you? If they are not, find ways to just find fun in it. Because sometimes I could work up to like 14 hours, 18 hours a day, and I still don't feel like I've done anything for that day, because I'm having fun. There's this joy of seeing a product developing from its initial stage to where people, users, actual users can operate with it. So it's more about finding the fun in what you are doing, and just understanding that you as an individual, you have to be fine to deliver effectively.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. If you are able to take care of yourself, you can take mm-hmm. care of the job. That's mm-hmm. that's my mantra.
Yeah. If you can take care of yourself, you can take care of the job.
Yes.
And taking care of yourself, one is having healthy habits. Like, there are many people that just dwell on junks because right now, like, they don't have to prepare. They don't have to prepare to go to some physical location that is work, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they can just wake up 9, just go have a brush, go take some junks and start work already. Like,
I understand what you are communicating. It's mostly around people losing all mm-hmm. Work habits they've built over time. Before, I have to wake up, have my mm-hmm. bath, go to work.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's, I don't have to go outside of my room. I can just have my bath and sit. So it's like I said, it's still the individual. If you decide that because you work remotely, you don't want to start looking, building up bad habits that would not help you, at the end of the day, you end up finding out that you fall ill more often
because mm-hmm.
you're not eating right, mm-hmm. you're not sleeping well, mm-hmm. and then you're unable to deliver and your productivity mm-hmm. becomes questioned at mm-hmm. the place of work, where you work.
Yeah.
So it's more about understanding that for remote work to be something, you have to be productive.
Mm-hmm.
To convince your employers or people you work with that you can do the job, you have to always deliver. And the best way you can get to that, attain that level of productivity is understanding that you need to eat well, you need to sleep well. When you are sick, you need to take a break, take care of yourself, and then get back to the job. There are no excuses to mm-hmm. Give when working remotely, because mm-hmm. people can't see you. So they get very anxious when they can't reach you, your phones are switched off, you didn't communicate. Even your communication skills, if you decide now that, oh, I'm a digital marketer, I no longer want to work in an office, I want to go fully remote, are you good with communicating? You have to ask yourself these questions. Are you good with documenting stuff and sharing with people? What tools are you familiar with that you know other people can relate to it? We can't blame companies for not mm-hmm. wanting to hire remote mm-hmm. workers when the remote workers themselves don't understand work ethics or mm-hmm. how to ensure that their productivity is always at a certain level that would not be questioned. So take care of yourself, eat well, sleep well, communicate when you are unable to do jobs. It's better you communicate and say, I am unable to meet with the deadline
mm-hmm.
than turn off your phone. There's been cases where you hear people complaining that their talents would mm-hmm. end up, because they haven't met a deadline, they end up turning off their phone just to avoid calls. And when you do that, the supervisor that is in charge of you starts to get agitated, because if you were in an office, it's easier for them to go to your station yeah. and tell you, mm-hmm. you haven't done this. But because you are not there and they can't see you, you think it's okay for you to. It's wrong. If we want remote work to work, we as the talents that are being outsourced to companies and both foreign and local clients, we have to understand that we need to be productive. So it's a two-way thing. While companies are trying to adapt, you as a talent adapting to remote work needs to understand the basics of making it work fine. Productivity can only mm-hmm. happen when you are a productive person mm-hmm. mentally.
Mm-hmm.
You think of how to make things work. You are mm-hmm. results oriented
and resourceful.
Yeah, resourceful.
One last thing. So there is this. For people who work from for remote workers who are not staying with someone, maybe they don't mm. have a significant other mm. or they don't have like a family they are staying with. All they deal with is like the computer screen. There is this sense of loneliness, or would I say lack of human interaction, that leads to loneliness in a way.
Mm.
Because if you look since COVID-19, the
yeah.
pandemic,
yeah.
There's the spike in getting pets has really increased, because people are like, oh, they need to crave interact with, yeah, they crave that companionship.
Mm.
And most people are, I don't know the stats for getting, I mean, people getting married or getting boyfriend, okay, girlfriend, people getting into relationship, I don't know the stats. Yeah. For that, but I would imagine that the crave for companionship has actually impacted that too, where people are like, oh, while I'm going to be working, while I'm trying to like keep my productivity at a certain level, I also need to have human interaction.
Mm.
There are ways in which people also, like, I don't know, work around that is maybe being with their friends. Maybe they rent in a space so they can work and they can be together. Because while you're working remotely, speaking with people over the internet, you also need to balance it with, like, human yeah. interaction. And that's yeah. really, really important. It just makes you feel connected. Like,
yeah. So I guess the question is, how do you maintain mental health?
Yeah.
Be in
yeah.
a state of
mm-hmm.
mental readiness while mm-hmm. working
remotely,
especially when you're an individual that live in your own space mm-hmm. without any mm-hmm. form mm-hmm. of companionship.
Mm-hmm.
So I usually advise people, get on calls, call friends, take a mm-hmm. break, mm-hmm. Go out, take a walk. So you meet, you don't know who you would meet when you take a walk out, or even go for a run, mm-hmm. have exercise, just take mm-hmm. your 10 minutes run from your street end, from one end of your street to the other. Say hello to people. Get on calls more. Mostly video calls help, especially when the people that you are closest to are outside of mm-hmm. the country that mm-hmm. you work from.
Mm-hmm.
You plan dates, meet new people, go out, take yourself out, go out sometime. Since now the restrictions have reduced, unlike how it was in May, June, July of last year, it's easy. Go out, go get a drink, call people up, hang out with them, call your colleagues up. I am one big believer of creating a family in a company. Like mm-hmm. being in a space where everybody can reach out to anybody at any given time. I should be able to call one of my colleagues and say, oh, this is what's going on, please. I need to see you. Or like we could have that rapport as colleagues. So it's also, this is also another medium to advise companies to build their company culture, a communicating culture that allows colleagues interact with each other. Some mm-hmm. days you could just make a video call and you're saying, I want to see everybody's face today. Send it on the group chat and then start calling all of them. And then all of you get on the call. You're supposed to be working, but you take that 30 minutes and you start gisting about stuff. From there, ideas come out. Sometimes you find better ways to work with specific clients just by calling up to say hello to each of your colleagues. So it's something that you have to be conscious enough mm-hmm. to understand mm-hmm. that loneliness starts from your mind. If mm-hmm. you feel like you're lonely, even mm-hmm. if you're around 10,000 people,
mm-hmm.
you'll still be lonely. But the moment you understand that this is the situation I'm in now, mm-hmm. how do I make the best of it? You start mm-hmm. to see, okay, can I call this person? Call people that you haven't spoken to in a long mm-hmm. time. Call family. They're usually mm-hmm. the... So when you make work family, it's easier because you can call someone from work. You guys talk about work, but it doesn't feel like work. It just feels like something that should be normal. So you find a way to balance mm-hmm. Living and working. Find a way to intertwine them by understanding that if the moment you start to see stuff as I'm working,
mm-hmm.
there's a high chance that you will just be stuck in a certain place. But the moment you see like, this is an opportunity for me to grow from one level to mm-hmm. another,
mm-hmm.
the excitement of growth
mm-hmm.
would end up keeping you in a state where you want to mingle with people because you want to learn from them. I want to talk to you because I want to learn from you, not because I work with you.
And that's actually a powerful mind shift. It yields a lot of really, really productive outputs when yeah. you change your style of thinking to that. Like,
yeah.
it's not work. It's just me having fun.
Yeah, it's me yeah. growing myself.
Yeah.
It's me saying, I'm going to go from being this person to mm-hmm. to that. It means mm-hmm. this aligns with my career goal. Mm-hmm. And even if it doesn't and I need to make finances, it means I'm growing my finances. So why don't I make the best of the opportunity? Why don't I connect with my colleagues better?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't I
mm-hmm.
have my supervisor understand me better instead of getting angry when deadlines are not met? So, but it's been fun talking about this, yeah?
Yeah, it really was. It really was.
This brings us to the end of this episode. Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please share it on social media. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts, you'll find us there. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions on topics we should cover, do reach out to us on email or via the Twitter handle